In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. With that, we'll just dismiss our children to the classrooms, and let's welcome up our own Reverend Faria. Let's welcome him up. RV. It's catching on, guys.
There was a moment during worship, I was like, wow, thank you, Lord. And so just, Lord, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for touching us with your love. And Lord, we just, that's where our home is. It's in your presence. And so we ask for your presence to continue to dwell in this place for the rest of our time here together with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, you know, was Father's Day. And so Pastor John, talk a little bit. It's almost every year the same thing gets said, right? Father's Day is not Mother's Day. Father's Day is like, it's not that big of a deal. It's become a joke, right? So there's, if you look online for Father's Day and memes, there's all these things that pop up that are funny. So I just like to share a couple of memes that are up there on the internet. Every restaurant in the world is packed on Mother's Day, but they want us to barbecue on Father's Day. Okay. Go to the next one. Mother's Day, it's a beautiful scene by the water with seafood, and Father's Day is like a TV dinner. Next one. Mother's Day commercials, diamonds on sale for $3,000. Father's Day commercials, men's Target cargo shorts on sale for $11. And so it's just become a joke that Father's Day, and rightfully so, mothers, we value our mothers, we appreciate our mothers, and it's just a joke, right? So, but I just want to say that in preparing for this message, the importance of the father in the family cannot be understated. God himself reveals to us as father. And this message even came about because, as you guys know, we are preparing for a mission trip to Thailand. End of July, we'll be flying out. Some people will be going earlier, and we'll be meeting us in Korea, and we'll group in Korea and then fly over to Thailand together. And Pastor John had a conversation that he shared last week about how he met with a missionary who is serving in Thailand. And he said, one of the biggest problems in the church in Thailand is they don't know the love of the Father. And because of that, it trickles into other areas of their life and ministry. And so with leaders who don't understand the love of the Father, it transfers to the congregation and how they lead and how they relate to the Lord and how they serve. And so that stuck with me. And I think, still praying through it, but we do have a big service in Thailand where we're going to be ministering to a church. Actually, two churches are coming together in Bangkok. And so they want us to share testimony and preach a message there. And I think it's going to be on the love of the Father. And so as I was thinking and preparing this message, I was like, wow, like, this is a topic that I've heard about, a topic that is very important to myself, but I just have not had a chance to deeply process this message. Heard some great messages over the years, but I feel like this is what the Lord wanted me to share today. It's on the Father's love. And so, naturally, we begin to think of the Father from our own earthly fathers. And I'll just say that with my own dad, I thank the Lord for the last few years. My dad is turning 88 this year. Growing up, he was working 7 days a week, you know, typical immigrant father, just trying to make ends meet. My mom was at home with us two boys. My dad was working every single day. He had no day off. And so his time with us was, you know, we had some time with him, but not a lot, I would say, because he would wake up in the morning, go work, come back at night. And understandably, sometimes he's cranky. He's tired when he gets back. And so we had some interactions with him, but it wasn't like a lot, right? But I do appreciate him. I knew that he was working hard because he loved the family. I knew that his life was not easy. And I remember clearly one time I was in speech class, and I don't know about you guys, but we were required to take speech class. I had to take it in undergrad, and it was horrifying for me. I hated to public speak. I would be like sweating bullets, hands were like sweaty, and it would be like dreading the night before. So thank God that he's allowed me to speak in public now. But I remember the speech that I had to write about. It was, tell the class about your hero. And they just left it like that. And so I remember going up to in front of the class, my speech, the person that came up to my mind was my dad. And I just shared a story that he shared with me that as a boy in Thailand growing up, he grew up on the farm and very poor in outskirts of Bangkok, maybe 2 hours away. His father was not very present in his life, and he shared that with me. He actually, he shared with me that his dad would actually cheat on my grandmother, and my dad was actually there and saw it, witnessed it. So that kind of stuck with him. So he has such love for his mom, but he kind of had a resentment towards his dad for doing that. But he said he remembers that he was working in the field, and he was looking up in the sky, and for the first time in his life, he saw an airplane fly by. And he just said, one day I want to be on a plane like that, and I want to travel. But you know, for him, that was such a far-off dream. But lo and behold, he worked hard, he studied, and he was able to find a way to the United States, where he began to work and build himself up here and establish a family here. So I just, in my speech, I talked about my dad in that way, that I'm just so thankful for his love for me, for my family. And although he's far from perfect, I'm thankful for what he's done for our family. And so in his older age, you know, he's starting to lose memory and he's not as mobile as he was. He has to walk with a cane. It's really been humbling to see him like get older, but it's been an honor and a privilege to be able to meet with him weekly. I try to see him every week and we talk, I take walks with him. And just, I hear stories that I never heard growing up. And I've come to appreciate these stories. Sometimes it's the same story over and over, but you know, I just nod and smile and you know, let him talk. But I've come to learn from his talking, just the pieces of his life and just the struggle and the hardship and that he's had to go through. And I've come to appreciate that. And although, yes, I've seen even more flaws coming out in his older age, like you know, a little bit of stubbornness and my mom complaining that he doesn't know how to like treat her sometimes. Like, he's not romantic. He doesn't have romantic bone in his body. You know, she'll kind of say things like that. But, you know, we just appreciate what he's done. And so in terms of this message, I'm going to be preaching from Luke 15, 11 through 32. And the message title is The Father's Love. And if I had to summarize my message in a theme, it'd be for us to know and receive the Father's love so that we would be able to share the love of the Father with others. And that this is for men, but also for women. Okay, so the parable of the lost son. Many people also call this the parable of the extravagant love of the Father. Because although it's called the prodigal son story, the one, I would submit that the main person in this story is the Father. The father's love for his younger son and his older son. And it's interesting. So Jesus, in this chapter, he's talking to tax collectors and sinners, but there's also the Pharisees that are there, okay? So he's speaking to this crowd, it's mixed with people who the world would say are sinners and the Pharisees. And he begins by sharing, he does it by sharing three stories, the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and then he goes to the parable of the lost son. And if you look at the progression, it's really interesting. So with the parable of the lost sheep, there's the one sheep out of 100 that gets lost. With the parable of the lost coin, it's one coin in 10. And then you get to the parable of the lost son, which is the younger son who goes away. So there's like a progression here that in these parables where it's almost a reflection of the father's love for the multitudes in the one sheep that got lost out of 100. And then a little bit more intimate with the one coin out of 10. And then even more intimate to the love of the father for the individual in this parable of the lost, the prodigal son. So it's interesting how the writer of Luke set this up in terms of these parables. But we're going to go through together. And I'm just going to read sections and kind of pause and just talk about it as we go through. So we'll start with Luke 15, verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger son said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. And so for the younger son, receiving less of an inheritance than the older son, this would be the equivalent of 1/3 of the estate. And it's essentially, in that culture, typically you won't get the inheritance until the father's passed away. And so what he's kind of saying is, I wish, Father, that you were dead. Just give me my money now. And as a father myself, I'm just imagining, like, an earthly father, probably there'd probably be trouble to pay if someone asked for that early. But you see simply here, the writer says, so he divided his property between them. It simply says that he just accepted what the son is asking for here. And it is a reflection of even the love of the father, where he does not, when his creation, people, mankind, chooses to go away from the father, he doesn't lock you in and say, no, you can't go. He allows people to make their decisions and go their way. And so this is just another picture of just our father here. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And so we see here that the younger son took the money, he went to a distant land, and he was living his life the way he wanted to live. Tragedy did strike where there was a famine in the land, and he ended up losing his wealth to the point where he had to be responsible for feeding the pigs. And if you know, in Jewish culture, that's just a detestable, detestable job that no good Jewish person would be doing at that time, feeding pigs. But he's so desperate that he's like, I want to not only feed the pigs, but I'm so hungry that I would love to eat the food that the pigs are eating as well. Verse 17, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. So here's this beginning of verse 17. It says, when he came to his senses. So there was a moment where this younger son, realizing the situation that he was in, seeing, oh my goodness, look at what I've become. I'm here feeding pigs. I'm starving. I'm hungry. I'm dirty. And then he remembers the goodness of his father. He remembers the kindness and the way his father loved him growing up. And it says he came to his senses. And this is a beautiful picture of sinners when they have that moment where they say, wow, I need God. I need to know God. I need to turn back to him. And so beautiful picture of this when he came to his senses. And you see here, he's rehearsing. He's like, okay. He's still thinking about his doing it off his own works, though, in a way. Because he's not just saying, oh, my father's just going to accept me back. Like, he knows the love of the father. He has a sense of the father, knowing, hey, my father's compassionate. He's kind. I've seen how he treated me growing up. But there's still a part where he hasn't come into this full realization of who his father is. So that's why he's rehearsing this speech. He's rehearsing this speech to say to his father when he encounters him, because he's expecting, you know, I did my father wrong. I know I messed up. He's probably angry with me. I don't think he'll accept me back, maybe, but I'm going to give it a shot. And so how am I going to do that? He's going to start by saying, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Okay, so he's going to confess that he has sinned. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. So he's like, I acknowledge that I am not even worthy. I cannot take that place that I had left in your household. I can't just go back to it. It's just not, I know it's not possible. So I'm not worthy to be called your son. And then he presents his proposal to his father. Let me be as one of your servants. I messed up, Father. I confess I'm not worthy to be your son. Now, my proposal is just let me be one of your servants. At least I know you're a good, you treat your servants well. They'll have food. can I at least come back in this status? Okay. And then it says, but while he was a long way off, okay, so the son is getting up, he's going to his father, probably rehearsing this speech along the way. What am I going to say? What am I going to say? It says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Now, this implies the fact that he's still a long way off, the son is still a long way off, and the father sees him. It's almost implying that the father has been looking towards the horizon in the hopes that my son will return to me. Okay, because if he was just not expecting his son back, he's probably just going about his daily activities, doing whatever he needs to do in the household. But here it says, while the son was still a long way off, the father's there, must have seen his son approaching from the horizon, like who's that figure that's approaching? He kind of walks like my son. It is my son. And then he says his heart was filled with compassion. And in that day, he's wearing, you know, he's not wearing pants like we are right now. He's wearing a cloak, a robe. Okay, so how does he run? He has to lift up his robe, lift up his garment, and begin running. And in that culture, it was unbecoming for a grown man to run in that time with his legs exposed. But love truly doesn't care. He was so filled with compassion and love. I don't care how I look to other people. I don't care how I look to my family, to my servants, to my neighbors. It doesn't matter. My son is approaching. I have been waiting for him. And so he just, without any shame, he's just like, I'm just going to run to my son. And here it goes. So the son, the father's approaching. It says, verse 21, the son said to him, Father, here he goes with his speech that he's been preparing. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And before he even gets to that last part of his speech where he says, let me be one of your servants, the father stops him. He doesn't even get to finish his speech. It says, but the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and now he is found. So they began to celebrate. So these things that he orders his servants to bring to his son, there's significance there. The robe, it represents righteousness, dignity, honor, and identity. And this robe that will be put on his son covers up the son's shame and guilt, and it provides public honor. It covers his old garments. Now keep in mind, he's probably smelly, he's probably stinky and dirty, but this robe covers that. So it's a picture of this putting on the righteousness and dignity and honor to his son again. The ring, it symbolizes authority and sonship. It's almost saying like you have the full inheritance, the full rights and future security of a son by putting that ring on the son's finger. And sandals, in that day, servants did not wear sandals, okay? And so he's like, put these sandals on my son. And it symbolizes freedom and purpose. Members of the household are the ones that wore these shoes. And so here it is, like restoration through the robe, covering the shame, through the ring, giving back that authority as a son and that rightful place as a son of the father and the future security. Sandals saying, hey, you are not a servant. You are of my household. And so, and then bring the fattened calf and kill it, signifying the celebration. This fattened calf would have been saved for celebrations, for big, momentous, joyous occasions. And he says, for my younger son who came home, let's kill the fattened calf and celebrate. And this is also a picture of a repentant sinner. So sometimes when we come to God, newly come to God, people who first give their life to Christ, it's like, man, I just wanna get in. Like, I just want to have God in my life so that I don't go to hell. I just want to go to heaven, right? Almost like I'm just going to make it through the gates, right? But the way our Father treats us is so much more. He not only rescues us from hell, but he restores the full identity of our sonship in him. We are co-heirs with Christ, the word says. So the one who is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and what he did, he lived the perfect life. And he's the one who's deserving of all this. But it says he treats us as if we were children. We are children of his children. So it's not like just escaping the flames, but we get this identity as, wow, we are sons and daughters of the living God. And the story continues, the parable continues, and there's an older son in the picture now. And keep in mind the audience that he's speaking to. He's speaking to tax collectors and sinners. But in the crowd that's listening to Jesus right now are also the Pharisees, who are the religious leaders. Okay, and this symbolizes the older son. The Pharisees symbolize the older son in this parable, while the sinner, the tax collectors, represent the younger son. It's verse 25, it says, meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. Now the older brother became angry and refused to go in. And it says, his father went out and pleaded. And this word pleaded is like to call near, to urgently ask with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him? And if you notice here, he doesn't refer to him as father. He just, out of his anger, he's just like, look. He just goes to the point, look. All these years, I've been doing this for you. I've been doing that for you. I've been here. I've out of his own, like, it's not the grace that's there. It's like, I've been doing. It's me. It's about what I've been doing. I've never disobeyed you. I've been never disobeyed your orders. I've been working here with you along all this time, and you never even gave me something, a goat, to celebrate with my friends. But you see how the father, who is a consistent picture here, see how the father responds to this son who doesn't quite get it. He starts by saying, my son. They are declaring the identity of the older son. My son, you are my son, right? My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found. So nothing was earned. He doesn't realize that the father was saying, you were always with me. That's a picture of grace. Like, you're accepted as my son already. And the older son is like, I've been doing X, Y, and Z. You know, I haven't lived like my younger son. Look at what I've been doing. This is not the message of the grace. Grace is like what the father is telling him. You've been with me all along. You've had full access to this all along. You know, and we have to celebrate your younger son now that he's coming home. And again, this is a message to the Pharisees who are in the crowd with the sinners. So the love of the father has been consistent throughout this picture. Okay? That there's this message of grace, this message of, it's not because of you. It's not because of you, younger son, you running away, you asking for the inheritance, you wishing I was dead. It's not about that. It's not you, older son, attempting to work and to do X, Y, and Z, thinking that you had to earn something. It's the love of the father that's been consistent to both sons. Okay, so this is a picture of our Heavenly Father. Again, this is the message is about for us to receive, be able to receive the love of the Father and to be able to share the love of the Father with others. Now, going back, our earthly fathers are typically the ones that we associate initially, at least, with the father. It's just by default. When we hear father, naturally we'll probably think to our earthly father or someone who's a father figure in our life. And we all know that if we confess the truth, some of us have had great fathers or have great fathers. You know, thank God for them. Some of us have fathers who have not been around or who have been just not good examples. But no father, no earthly father is perfect. And so even as I shared about my dad, just thankful for all that he's done, but I know, I can see that He is not our Heavenly Father. He's not my Heavenly Father. But this is naturally the first place we'll look. And so Psalm 27:10 says, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. So no matter what, you know, our earthly mother, earthly father have done for us, in probably trying their best for us, they can never replace the love of the Father. They can never take the place of our God's love for us. And sometimes it's difficult for us to receive the love of the Father. It's easier for us to approach Jesus, to Holy Spirit, than to approach the Father, because we may have a distorted view of what the Father looks like, right? But if we remember, even Jesus, if we're comfortable with Jesus, we remember Jesus' words, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's a great place to start if you have this issue. If you've seen Jesus and you read about how beautiful and awesome Jesus is, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So wait, the Father's just like that? The Father's kind, the Father's compassionate, the Father's loving, the Father desires to heal? Yes. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. So just some things about our Father that we, it's be good to remind ourselves of. In the story, he is the consistent picture of love, of compassion, of kindness. He's slow to anger, kind, gentle. As a father has compassion on his children, the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. That's from Psalm 103:13. Yet the Father also disciplines those he loves, it says. So we want, as fathers, as children, we may not say it, but we do want discipline. Like kids need structure. Kids actually desire it. They won't say, hey, correct me or discipline me, but kids will thrive. Studies show that kids will thrive with proper discipline. I'm not talking about like the unrighteous kind of punishment, but it's like, hey, when I'm going the wrong way, guide me, teach me, and the kids will thrive in that. So our Heavenly Father does the same. He disciplines us when we're going astray. It says in Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not exacerbate or provoke to anger your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Okay, so this is a way, something spoken to the fathers here, right? We are called to represent the Father well, not by exacerbating our children, provoking them to anger, but try to love the way the Father loves. And this is a high standard, right? Again, none of us will love our children the way that God loves us. But we are called to represent him to our children as best we can, or to others as best we can. And this term that God provides us in Romans 8:15 is Abba. It's a term that is father, but it's a term of endearment, like daddy or papa. And so this is how Jesus tells us to address the Father, as Abba. And in your language, whatever language you spoke at home growing up, it would be whatever word that is that was a term of endearment for your father. Romans 8:15 says, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Father is, so if you notice, Abba means father, but he says, Abba, Father. So two languages are represented here, the Aramaic and the Greek. It emphasizes the fatherhood of God. Abba, Father. It's like Father, Father, but in two different languages. It's emphasizing the fatherhood of God. So for earthly fathers and earthly, even mothers who are called to also represent our fathers, our father to others, we represent him by having spiritual leadership. Spiritual leadership in the home, encouraging discipline, and living with integrity and reflecting God's character. Again, this is a high bar, and I know like something that I continue to try to grow in, because I know in those moments where I catch myself, I haven't always represented the Father well to my kids. But one thing I always try to do is, you know, in the moments where I have not represented him well, I apologize, and I say, hey, look, like daddy's not perfect, daddy's growing, you know, daddy's trying to be more better father for you, but I'm not the perfect father. You have a Heavenly Father. And I point it back to God the Father. God the Father is perfect. Daddy's not. Okay, so I always try to remind my kids that, hey, you have a perfect Heavenly Father. Daddy's trying. and pray for Daddy to continue to grow in this area. But we are called to represent him well, right? Those that are fathered well can also love like the Father. And this can be physical, like your earthly family, your earthly kids, or it can be like spiritually, if you're discipling someone or raising someone up in the faith, you're being like a spiritual father to them. So people who know and are growing in the love of the Father are also going to be able to help father others well. And so this is where like this desire that the Father wants us to grow in understanding and knowing his love so that we can represent him to others and that the world may know who the God that loves them is, that the world may know that they have a heavenly Father that desires for them to come home, right? So we who are already home, we continue to grow and learn how do we receive the Father's love, that we would grow in this understanding of our identity in him, that we could represent him to others. And so we're going to do like a ministry, a short ministry time. And this is something that we can do together. I'm going to ask us all to participate. And it goes through several steps. So all of us have a father, whether we have a great relationship with them, whether we don't, whether we don't even know who they are, like we all have a father. And so the first step is to begin even by acknowledging that we have been shaped by broken fathers, that fathers who are not perfect. So we're going to begin with acknowledgement. And then we're going to go through a time of forgiveness. We're going to forgive our earthly fathers for, though they may have been trying their best, maybe they weren't, but we're going to forgive them. We're going to choose to extend forgiveness to our earthly fathers. And then we're going to have a time of just being open and receiving the love of God, the love of the Father. And as the Spirit was moving earlier in our worship, I believe the Spirit is going to be moving as we come with faith and we go through this. So for every one of us, myself included, I'll be doing this myself, but it's like we want to just come before the Father, acknowledging that our earthly fathers who are a representation, are meant to be representations of the Heavenly Father, are not perfect. And forgiving them for the ways that they have fallen short. And then we're going to come and be open to the love of the Father. And we're going to pray that the Lord would just move in this place and touch our hearts. So if I could just ask everyone to stand as we do this.